This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the final Imprint Companion ever. Alexi Toliopoulos, the legend behind The Last Video Store, Finding Drago and Yeezus, and Desperado is with me. As always, I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is appearing for the last time in this Imprint Companion feed. Next year, you'll be able to hear Alexi and I talking monthly an entire array of physical media highlights. It's so good to be back, so we thought we would finish the show and conclude it with an exclamation point and talk about our four faves, letterbox style, four fave physical media releases of the year. My partner in obsession and movies who is surrounded by shelves, how are you?
Oh, Blake, I could not be better. It's been a wonderful year in watching movies. And in particular, I think I've had a great time picking up some of these great Imprint releases. I'd say the last couple of months of Imprint has been pretty fantastic. A new set has arrived on my door just this very week.
Same.
Including some of my favorite films of all time, Fish Tank, Jackie Brown,
With Nell and I,
a new Shawshank Volume 2, such a wonderful batch of films I cannot wait to dig into. But in the meantime, it's great to talk through a few of our highlights from Imprint from this year to wrap up this podcast before we dive into a monthly venture next year of just, I would say, shooting the shit about our favorite Blu-ray releases of from everywhere of the month or of the moment.
Yeah, I think you and I have particularly, and I like to thank you with this, developed tastes of physical media from around the world and labels around the world, which are really exciting. And you and I on the Imprint Companion have to keep our love very sort of focused.
Focused.
Like blinkered on what those releases are, and they're many releases, so it's not been a struggle, but next year we're going to just dig in because you have an amazing solo comedy show coming up, the Last Video
Store. Well, I hope it's amazing. It's yet to exist, but I hope it will be.
I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I'm sure it's going to be. We've got at One Hit Minute Productions, our audio documentary series, The Minsider, coming up every single episode, 20 episodes, basically the first half of the year. That are produced like episodes of 60 Minutes. So a real banger of a series there. Looking forward to sharing that. But yeah, some really great stuff. So we're going to be busy, but we're going to dial it back to a month. And when we connect, I think it's going to be electricity. And keep your list-making apparatuses, your Amazon carts empty for those episodes, because we're going to be shouting out absolutely everything.
And I would say that if you you love what we do about Imprint Companion, That new version of that, of us talking about Blu-rays and release and stuff like that, will be hitting those same markers for you. But, of course, the work that Blake and I do separately, so much of what we do in Imprint Companion is infused into that. I mean, literally, I would say, every week on my podcast, Last Video Store, I recommend a film to somebody based on what they like. I would say heaps of them have been shit that I've discovered on Imprint Companion. Like maybe most of them, to be honest.
And 100%. Definitely you would have heard many episodes where I just go and interview other filmmakers, other film writers and things like that about stuff that sometimes I discover. And I'll just even give you a clue, like a really talented filmmaker who made our hero Balthazar by the name of Oscar Boyson. I believe you saw it. Did you see that at South By?
Not yet, but I've heard it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. You are spot on about that. We connected at the Brisbane Film Festival, and very recently they announced that there's a new version of Tony Scott's The Fan coming out to Imprint next year.
Yes.
And Oscar messaged me when I reposted it on Instagram and said, if you ever need a guy to talk about Tony Scott, I'm your dude. And
hell
so
yeah.
That's
another Scott head.
Another Tony head, man. Big Tony
head
out there. So that so
I should actually, I'm glad you corrected me because I'm a Tony head, not a Scott head. I love Scott. Tony Scott.
Tony. And Lex, you'll be glad to know that I bought myself three things for Christmas as an outfit. The first is a hat that says directed by Tony Scott. The
awesome.
Second is a vest exactly like Tony Scott used to wear on the set all the time. And the
wow.
third is a pair of short yellow shorts identical
oh.
to his pair that he wore during the making of Days of Thunder. And that will be my uniform
wow.
for Christmas. It's
Tony Scott. Not enough people cosplaying as journeyman filmmakers, I say.
Not on this show. Not on this show. Well, there's enough of it. But let's get started. What was your numero uno in your top four for Imprint this year?
Oh, man, this is an easy one for me. This is maybe my release of the entire year as far as physical media goes, just because it delighted me so much. This is probably no surprise to anyone that listens to this show, but Imprint's Shaw Shock Shaw Brothers Horror Collection Volume 1, including the films The Oily Maniac, Seeding of a Ghost, and Sex Beyond the Grave. This
oh,
is
so good.
Far and away the most fun I've had sitting down all year, I'd say, is watching these movies. They were a complete discovery for me. As many people that have invested in physical media over the last fucking generation or whatever, I think the Shaw Brothers has come as quite a nice influx into you know your viewing habits of the last few years. Of course, I picked up those big Arrow Shaw Brothers volumes, but compared to everything that's been in those entire boxes, this just hits it for me.
The Oily Maniac. The Oily Maniac was one of the best recommends you've ever given me on this show. So
the
good.
Oily Maniac, you know, one of the best titles I've ever seen for a film, and you watch the movie, and it lives up to the title, The Oily Maniac. I think this is just such a fun box set. I've recommended it a lot.
Yeah.
I know that sold out very quickly, and yeah, I'll take credit for that.
And you should.
I'll take credit for that. But, you know, I even on the last video store, I recorded with Michael Shanks, the director of Together. And straight away, I was like, hey, there's a couple of movies I want to recommend you. Seeding of a Ghost, I think you'll adore. And Oily Maniac is so fun and so up your alley. And yeah, I just wanted to say, I really love these. Both of these have some nice special features. The Seating of a Ghost has Ghosts and Ghouls, critics James Mudge on Seating of a Ghost, and then also an interview with filmmaker Callum Waddell, Seating of a Trend, The Birth of Hong Kong Splatter Cinema. Oily Maniac similarly has Maniacal Memories, interview with actor Jack Long, Oil and Slaughter, interview with Ricky Baker, creator of Eastern Heroes magazine, and Slippery Story, interview with the filmmaker Callum Waddell again. And I just think these two films just inspired me so much this year. I just found them to be incredibly fun, in beautiful amount of splatter. It has encouraged me to continue exploring this weird little section of horror. But Seating of a Ghost would be in my greatest discoveries of the year. Like, yeah. I'm in the middle of putting a little list together of the best films that I saw for the first time this year. Seating of a Ghost is definitely in there, and there is one more film, maybe two more films that I'll give in my top four that will be in those discoveries. But Shaw Shock Volume 1, easy for me, best, most exciting physical media release of the year for me across, I'd say, God, probably all labels. I really just enjoyed this so much. I'm so excited I got fucking Volume 2 in my house today. So that is my big recommendation. Shaw Shock, Shaw Brothers, Horror Collection, Volume 1 from the Imprint Asia selection.
Look, I'll go to my number one. My number one of the year, and I've got to talk a lot around it, is this incredible insane version of Michael Mann's The Keep. Of course, my favorite film of the year for physical media is going to be a Michael Mann collection, and Arrow did so sensationally.
You took part in?
I did take part in, but Arrow did so sensationally a great set of The Keep, and the only thing that was missing was a much rumored and vaunted making of The Keep documentary, which is called A World War II Fairy Tale, The Making of Michael Mann's The Keep. When I'd been doing One Heat Minute all those years ago, I'd heard about this thing developing and it sort of then just disappeared from the face of the earth. This set is one of the imprint gargantuan sets. It has like a matte folded print of the original poster, comic series, press kit, lobby cards, this huge hardcover booklet with photographs and the reprint of the Fangoria article from 1984, first draft script. And it has a hardcover case with all the discs in it. It also has this silver cross, much like one of the Nazis in The Keep pulls out of the wall. I was lucky enough to be a contributor on this. I did an essay called Recover the Mindset, which is really talking about the thematic connections between The Keep and Manhunter, because Manhunter had been on my mind this year. It is so massive and incredible. And for a movie that was absolutely and undoubtedly like dead in the water flop of a movie that became kind of an instant hidden cult classic. The film critic Meg Shields from Canada, great contributor to some of our shows, said that The Keep should be handed around like the tape from The Ring. Like, it should be found in the woods. It should never have a great release. But I truly think that this release is unparalleled. It's one of the best and biggest releases I've ever seen. And it's just so overstuffed with a movie that literally everything you could possibly want, including some of the stuff that was from the personal collections of the filmmakers behind the making of, are here in this set. So for me, a 4K of The Keep looks gorgeous from the 35mm scan. It's amazing. And just it's giving something that people have only talked about or whispered about the kind of attention that it deserves. It reminds me a little bit of that incredible Super Mario Brothers set that came out from Umbrella last year, which was just such a dynamic and incredible thing that had all of this extra stuff that no one even knew existed. That's what this set is to me.
And I remember when that set came out from Umbrella, I said this would be release of the year if it weren't for the movie's awful. and I think that they kind of imprint rises to the challenge where they go, hey, it's not the best movie, but it is far better than Super Mario Brothers. When I watched this film for the first time, Blake, what really struck me is the score, sound, and vision, and even the lighting make it such a haunted dream that you can't help but feel immersed by. Yeah. So I'm very excited to finally be able to dig into that documentary.
Doco is great.
At Doco last. Is great. And I'll be honest, I've yet to actually open this box because it's so big. It actually intimidates me.
When you open it, it's an impressive thing. And you may even hear a little video essay from your old friend, Blake Howard.
Oh, I will. I will.
I don't know if you can log the video essay on Letterboxd, but let me know what you think because
I'll pirate it and log it on Instagram, just me watching it. But you know what? I might even say this might be my post-Christmas dive-in, that box.
Hey,
Christmas lunch, eat a big ham, get my friends over, watch this.
Full of beautiful, you're a great cook. Not many people would know that about you, Alex. You're a great cook. You're going to eat a delicious Christmas meal and you can just curl up, watch The Keep. That's on brand.
With a big old ham bone in my hands.
Oh, so good. What have you got next as your number two?
Blake, I'm trying to think where I should go next. I might just keep it simple and just pick one of the films from the most recent batch that we've been picking up from Imprint. Not the most recent batch, but I believe, God, it may have been September, October batch, but it was a big one that's taken us a little while to even get through. I don't think we've discussed it yet, but An Autumn's Tale. I really love this film from director Mabel Chung, starring Chow Yun-fat and Sherry Chung. This film really just knocked my socks off. I think it is a great modern, like, it felt immediately to me like one of the great New York stories that I'd never seen before. And from an immigrant's perspective, I think it just works so nicely. Really, really fun. Kind of great romantic comedy feeling to it, or coming of age feeling to it. It's a very warm film. I'd never heard of this film before, but I just loved it. And it had some great special features, including an interview with director Mabel Chung that I really loved. I thought it was really fantastic. And I think it's one of the best imprint releases for the year for me. Big recommendation.
It's funny you say that, because in that batch, there's an incredible Father Knows Best box set from Ang Lee,
yes,
which is, yeah, like they both came together. And that's one that we didn't get a chance to talk about. But I smashed that Ang Lee box,
yes,
set too. It's really high on my list. It would be an honorable mention. But that batch just like subtly putting out some of the best stuff of the whole year in Imprint Asia, just like bang, came straight across our desk. It was awesome.
Definitely. I would really commend everything that Imprint is now doing with Imprint Asia. I think that it's a really great way for people in Australia to get access to a lot of these great films from, you know, from Asia, from Hong Kong, from everywhere, to just like be able to experience a much broader range of film. And they're putting some really interesting, weird films, like An Autumn's Tale. Why would you think to pick that up? Like that, I think it's great to put that in there. I think it's some of the best work that Imprint has been able to do, and it's a testament to all the stuff that they've been doing over years to build up enough clout to start doing stuff like that. Really, really liked it.
Yeah.
And I think in that same batch from regular Imprint, I'll give a little shout out to an honorable mention for me. I loved Frankie and Johnny.
Yeah, it was
good. My God. Another great New York film. Another great kind of rom-com feeling. I loved Frankie and Johnny. I've
you
thought
do
about
have
that
an
movie.
Affinity for like any kind of films that are set in restaurants and stuff like that.
Yes.
And Frankie and Johnny is like one of those. It's like a secret hidden one of those movies.
Secret hidden one. It's set in a Greek diner with Hector Elizondo playing a Greek diner owner, and he gets the pass, mate. I think he was fantastic in it. But I really, really liked that film. I thought about it almost every day since watching it, to the point where I'm like, oh, I'd love to do this on stage, because it's based on a play. And I was talking to my friend Mish Wittrup, who's a great comic actor, and I was like, we should do Frankie and Johnny on stage one day. We should do Frankie and Johnny on stage.
And making it a comedy with you two would be the best thing ever. The movie's already fun.
Yeah. But we'll make it a little bit funnier. I'm funnier than Al Pacino, I'll admit it. I think I can actually say that. He's my hero, but I think I'm funnier than Al Pacino.
I mean, look, Dunkachino says hold my beer, but I tend to agree. All right, my number two, Lex, similar to you, sort of snuck up on us. It is the incredible Imprint Blaxploitation box set.
Oh. Wonderful pick, Blake.
Great, great box set. If for nothing else, than the discovery of the year for me, Detroit 9000. An absolute.
I remember watching this movie and going, dude, I texting you, going, you have to make sure you watch this one in here.
It is not as loaded as some of the other things as far as special features on the disc, but this set was so awesome and so important to me, and so just such a huge discovery. And I just think that the Blaxploitation work for the longest time, much like the Shaw Brothers for the longest time, was kind of like lost to history. And in the last few years, across many labels, the entire back catalog of all these incredible films has started to really come back. So I am just so in love with this set. I love it to pieces. Truly one of my favorites. And I know that it's still available. If for nothing else, Detroit 9000 is one of my favorite crime movies that I think I've ever seen, and you just have to get your hands on it. It's an amazing, amazing film.
Oh, echo that entirely, Blake. Like, great box set. One of those ones that we say Imprint can do really well, which is just like, you know, a small film school course in a set. Maybe it's a class or two, but Detroit 9000 is such a freaking winner. Gritty, edgy, violent, a great jazz score. A wonderful performance from Alex Rocco of The Godfather.
Hell yeah.
He's just so effortlessly cool and charismatic. I just think that I'm there with you. One of the most fun times I've had watching a movie this year. Just loved it. Loved, loved, loved that movie, and a great box set.
Great box. What do you got for your number three?
Oh, God. The next two that I'm going to pick, I will just say, I'm struggling between choosing which one I'm going to say next. You know what? I'm going to save one till the end. So the next film I'm picking is Far and Away, the best film I've seen this year that I'd never seen before.
Great.
And I don't think I even really got to speak about it on the podcast because I think you recorded an episode with a guest while I was on tour. And yes. I chucked this film when I landed back at home and I was blown away by it because this was a film I had assumed I had seen before because I must have owned it on DVD or Blu-ray. This is the Paul Newman starring HUD.
Brilliant film.
And I just thought that this was just truly the best film I'd seen all year. Like, I'm even struggling to kind of put into words.
Still so prescient, Lex, because it's really about...
Yes.
It's about a guy that doesn't want to be a part of his, you know, rural provincial family, who's like a cattleman family. Their family's struck with the tragedy of, you know, foot and mouth with their livestock. The police and then government authorities come over the top and basically instruct them to wipe out their crop. And all the while this is happening, his kind of like unhinged behavior and sort of like lack of care, and it very much tangles up with that kind of like post-Vietnam existential crisis, but like fuses it back into something that's pretty, you know, a bit of a throwback. And it's just this guy who just doesn't want to be there, doesn't want to live there, doesn't want to do this stuff. And what is so amazing and magnetic is that Hud is absolutely one of the great anti-heroes. He is not a hero. He's an awful, deplorable, ambivalent character. But Paul Newman is... His mystery and magic is that he can, like, transfix you with this guy and you idolize him, even though he's doing bad things and making bad choices and making his family core group... You know, he's like a cancerous force. But nonetheless... It just hits like a ton of bricks and it is so powerful. And I think it's a movie that's ripe for misreading, but I think in 2025 and early 26, if you haven't seen it yet, it's a movie that you read and you see every layer of this thing that was right there from the time that it was made to now is just, it's all over it. It's like, you can see it, it's like scales or something like that. It's just got all this thing that you can see in it. It's a brilliant, brilliant film. And Paul Newman's truly, like, truly, truly my favorite of his performances maybe ever.
I would agree with you, Blake, on everything you just said. You put it so beautifully. I would say that Martin Ritt is a filmmaker I quite like. Yeah. He made Norma Rae. He made Spy Who Came In From the Cold. He made Paris Blues, which is another Paul Newman film. Right. And also this movie, The Front, that I always had like a curiosity for, starring Woody Allen and Zero Mostel, that I always quite liked. And then another film, if you like, Frankie and Johnny, Stanley and Iris, Robert De Niro and Meryl Streep, always liked that movie as well. But... Hud is his masterpiece. I was left quite awestruck by it. And like you were saying, it is that feeling of a revisionist Western, but like no other, it's so beyond mournful. It feels like a funeral while you're watching it.
Yeah.
And just spectacular, spectacular film. And curiosity, there's a curious thing that happened to me while watching this. So... You know these old films, they have the credits front-loaded at the start, and there's not really closing credits. It usually just comes up with the end. Because this film is so emotionally shocking to me and, like, so bleak, there is this feeling of when it ends, it just says the end. And, you know, sometimes you just want to be able to soak into a credits. Hey, my mailman just tooted. It means that something's here. I'm going to go run down and grab it. I'll be back in a sec.
Run down.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
More Blu-rays just arrived. I can't wait to dive into them. I'm out of breath. And I got to shut the window when I had to scream, I'm coming to my fucking postie. Yeah, so anyway, I was watching the movie. And you kind of sometimes you need that moment where you're sitting in the credits to just... let the feelings pass through you. But because it just ended, I was like, holy shit, I'm stuck with this feeling. And it was very special. It's just that thing that's lasted with me all year. I really have run out of breath. I ran up and down six flights of stairs just now.
Just pause. We'll catch up on Hud. Let me go to my number three to let you catch your breath.
That's Hud. I love the movie. It's a masterpiece. Best thing I've seen all year. Blake, what's left me breathless? Blake, what's your next pick?
My next pick is The Amazing, directed by David Lean, Volume 1, particularly because in this
gorgeous
set.
Gorgeous pick, mate.
Great set. But for me, what smashed me, two films, Blythe Spirit, which is just a terrific comedy, ghostly comedy, supernatural comedy, amazing. But Brief Encounter, I had never seen before. And
Brief Encounter is one of the best films ever fucking made, dude.
Yes, and so Brief Encounter, I literally watched back-to-back Brief Encounter and Blythe Spirit, and I was like, and I obviously in the rest of this set, it's in which we serve this happy breed, Blythe Spirit, Brief Encounter, Great Expectations, Oliver Twist. I'd seen Oliver Twist and Great Expectations, of course, but just when I was watching this, I was like, you know, David Lean is a filmmaker that is like literally canonical, hallowed turf. Anytime any of his massive movies, they've got such huge reputations. But these little smaller scale things, the power of his storytelling in these very localized things, not huge canvas epics, was the thing that like ripped me apart. I was just like, this is such an amazing filmmaker, and I cherish these early films being together.
Yeah,
knowing that I've got, you know, Bridge of the Kwai and Lawrence of Arabia on my shelf. So it was just amazing. But that Brief Encounter,
Can I make a claim? I think Brief Encounter is the best movie David Lean ever made.
I don't necessarily disagree.
It's hard to disagree,
because it's like when you're watching it, you get caught under this spell of the movie and this feeling. And I think that that's what he does so well, is he's conveying these massive feelings like he does Vistas, but it's just people and relationships. I do have the softest of all spots for Lawrence of Arabia, because I think it's truly one of the great cinema performances in the lead in Peter O'Toole. But man, I was blown away by that. Holy shit. Brief Encounter.
I'll make two statements now. Lawrence of Arabia has a claim to be the best film ever made. Brief Encounter, unequivocally, is the best movie David Lean directed. That's two incongruous points that I believe. That's my bone.
And both of those statements somehow, strangely, are true. All right, here we go. You saved your number four. You gave us one of your best viewings of the year. What's your number four?
It was an easy pick for me in that Imprint released my favorite movie. And when I say my favorite movie, I've got a lot of films I say my favorite movie. This is one that I really do mean. If I think about movies that mean the most to me in my lifetime, this would be very, very well up there. This is John Schlesinger's Midnight Cowboy, released on 4K by Imprint. Think that this is just a dream for me to get this film in this box set. I've owned this film now on every format. I've owned it on every format. I've got a VHS sitting in my living room of this film. I've had it on two different DVDs. I had the Criterion Blu-ray. And now, thankfully, I may have completed my journey with owning this film with this. I doubt anyone will ever do anything that trumps this. So I think this is a great release. The 4K looks spectacular. Looks really, really beautiful.
Really great.
The special features are great. But more so, really want to shout out the documentary that they put in this box set. It was a documentary they also owned on DVD because it was not available anywhere. I really wanted to watch it when it came out. So I had to buy a DVD from America. But now they've got it on Blu-ray in this box set. It's called Desperate Souls, Dark City, and the Legend of Midnight Cowboy. More of a long-form video essay. It's not really a making of. It's more about like cultural impact and think it's a fantastic documentary companion to one of the greatest films of all time. Love this. I cherish this set that Imprint put out. I'm grateful for it. I think it's a blessing on me to own this, to own my favorite film in such a beautiful way. So Imprint, thank you. Thank you. This thing of the Imprint Companion was leading up to just getting one of my favorite movies released on the most beautiful format. So thank you so much, Imprint.
Well, 2006 is where we're going to end in the movie releases on my number four. This is a movie that I cherish. 2006 is a very underrated year. It features films like Michael Mann's Miami Vice, Alfonso Cuarón's Children of Men. And this, Fleck and Bowden's Half Nelson, starring Ryan Gosling. I saw this movie at the theater at the time. It was a really good year for me, seeing lots and lots of movies at the theater, as well as catching up on a whole bunch of things in cinema history. And I remember seeing this performance. It's got Gosling, it's got Anthony Mackie, Sharika Epps. It's the kind of urtext of Bowden and Fleck's work. You know, they've made other great stuff, like Mississippi Grind and those things.
A good movie, Mississippi Grind, by the way.
Great movie. But Half Nelson and Ryan Gosling in this, I was like, in that moment, I was like, this is the guy that may be the best actor of his generation is in this movie. What he's doing is effortless. It's incredible. It's magnetic. It's so flawed and so relatable. And it's kind of a great teacher movie as well as the worst teacher in the world movie. And it's just an absolutely incredible thing. And why I cherish it as a single disc is that in 2006, this was shot on like digital video. So it's like the same era as like the Collaterals and Thomas Vinterberg's movies that sort of inspired people to have this like very digital aesthetic and keep it there rather than going, hey, how do I turn the cheapness and the democratization of film cameras with digital and turn it to look like cinema, which kind of happens around 2007 and 8. But this is like first wave, 2004 to 2006, people were using it and letting digital speak for itself and be part of the aesthetic of the movie. And the digital aesthetic in this is absolutely incredible. There's a score by Broken Social Scene, which is fantastic. And yeah, it's just such a treat to go back to something that you remembered so fondly and was such an influence on the way I saw independent cinema and really how impactful these new voices could be. It was so amazing to go back and just like, it was like a time machine just ran me straight back to those moments and those feelings. So it was a real treat to get this as one of the last movies that we're doing on the Imprint Companion. I was just like, wow, this is something truly special.
Yeah. I also just rewatched this film, Blake, and it crushed me, this film. Yeah. Very quietly, it crushed me. Wonderful film, Half Nelson. I'm so glad to hear you talk about it. You've got such a lovely personal relationship to this film. Beautiful film and a great Imprint release. Like, truly, I think the way they pick up like these kind of mid 2000 films that have lost a little bit of the attention to them has been great. Yeah. Also, in that same batch, I rewatched The Quiet American by Phil Noyce, and fantastic movie. Great performances from Michael Caine and Brendan Fraser. Probably, I reckon, the best performance of both of their careers are in that film.
Easy. Agree. Very, very good. And Fraser's performance particularly, it was in that weird nexus that he was in. Like, they didn't know what to do with him. Action star, a more serious dramatic actor.
Yeah.
And he shows so much chops there. And Kane is electric in that movie.
Electric. Yeah.
Alexi, it's been so fun doing The Companion with you. It's going to be even more fun when we come back with our sort of monthly physical media confessionals with each other. It's going to be so awesome. Oh. Thank you. Thank you.
Good title, mate.
thank you so much for being a great co-host and partner in the 5 years. And to all of the listeners who've enjoyed the show, thank you so much for being a part of it month on month, batch on batch. You're just going to have to catch us in a month where we're talking about all sorts of things. And I'm really looking forward to doing that with you next year. And if you guys want to follow Lex Last Video Store, keep an eye there. This is Alexi on all of his socials, and you can see all of his stuff. Sign up to, you've got a little, is it a newsletter? How does that work on Instagram? I don't know what
it's just an Instagram channel that I've got at the moment where I do a recommendation for probably, I'd say, twice a week these days. I was doing it daily, then I realized it might be annoying to get a notification every day from my Instagram.
I kept thinking you were sending me DMs. That's a recommendation. Yeah. That's okay.
That's how I started feeling. People will love me. It's a fun little daily thing I'm doing. Come check out my comedy festival show this year, VHS. If you like hearing me talk about movies, that's what that show is, but it'll be funnier than when I do it off the cuff because I'll be writing beautiful jokes and vignettes about them. But Blake, we'll be continuing talking about Blu-rays in the new year on One Heat Minute Productions.
Hell yeah.
If you are not subscribed to that feed, please do. Blake obviously does some of the best freaking high quality movie discussion, discourse, critical podcasting in the history of both mediums, podcasting and movies. That's really good stuff. And we'll just be doing fun stuff over there in the new year. And I reckon it could be the ideal podcast for you and I.
I think it could. Truly,
we'll just be talking about the best shit that we're watching and loving together, you and I. My God, what a dream.
What a dream. It's been so good catching up with you. Have the best time for everyone who's listening. Have a great Christmas. Take note of those releases. We'll have them in the show notes for those things that are like out there if you want to get your hands on them. Thank you so much to Imprint, and we'll catch you next year on whatever that new show becomes. Maybe a monthly physical media obsession confessional, whatever we decide to call it. You'll be here. 1-8 Minute Productions. Follow us all on at OHM Pods, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy Christmas. Merry New Year. Run with my toxic love. Look how you make me happy.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.